Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, back live into hour number three. Maybe questions are coming with us the whole rest of the hours. We have time to take phone calls. He is Captain Kelly Sweeney, Master Mariner, author of the true story, From the Bridge. And he, back in 2003 on Christmas night, they were boarded, and they had two armed security guards in that dangerous area on board the ship who blasted them and got them off the ship, killing at least one of them. All right, continuing, sir, with the 500% increase in piracy, where the hot spots are in the world, what we're really facing.
Well, right now, the big hot spot is what everybody's been reading about in the papers and hearing about, and that's the Gulf of Aden. And this is one of the most important shipping lanes in the world. 12% of the world's oil, go 21,000 vessels a year, go through here. It is the eastern entrance and exit to the Suez Canal. Our troops are supplied by ships that go through the Suez Canal, through the Red Sea, around the Gulf of Aden and the Horn of Arabia, and then up to Iraq. And I actually have two friends over there right now who are supplying the troops, and actually a container ship, a Maersk Line U.S. Flag container ship, was attacked just about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But it's a major supply line, and the oil from Saudi Arabia comes either along the coast, down around the Horn of Africa, or goes through the canal, and therefore through this shipping lane. But so that's the hot spot that we hear about, but it's not the only hot spot. Piracy is rampant worldwide in the Malacca Strait, over in the South China Sea, South America, as you pointed out, in the Caribbean. There have been attacks in Haiti in the last few months off of Haiti on an automobile carrier that was attacked, an armed attack in port. In the Mediterranean, there was a yacht that was attacked off of Italy a matter of months ago, a private yacht. There's been cruise ships that have been taken. The Le Ponant, which was a French luxury cruise vessel, was hit by pirates. It was coming back empty from the Seychelles Islands through the Gulf of Aden, so the crew was on board. But that was a cruise ship that was attacked. And so it's rampant worldwide, and chaos is reigning at this point on the high seas. And the governments of the world, the militaries of the world, are unable to do what they need to do, and that is to make the waterways as safe as possible for merchant ships to go through. Merchant vessels, we're unarmed. We're civilian merchant mariners, and we don't have weaponry. I mean, merchant mariners are paid to take people back and forth, like on a ferry, from one place to another, or cargo, whether it be oil or whether it be, 10 Nike tennis shoes or anything that people buy in the store that comes from overseas. By and large, it comes by ship, and merchant mariners are the ones who take it. We're civilians, and we're not armed. And as I said in the last segment, a lot of countries do not allow the personal ownership of weapons, and that restricts being able to have armed merchant mariners, which is something I think we need to do. I know you brought that up. We need to discuss that. I agree. But in any way, piracy is rampant worldwide, and who bears the cost? The people who pay the goods. There's right now the insurance rates have increased on the average of a size, let's say the ship of the Cirrus Star, $100,000 to $200,000 just for additional insurance to go through the Gulf of Aden. Private security forces are being hired by companies to protect their vessels going through these areas. And at this point, I don't see any stop to it. What's going on right now is not putting any more than a minor dent in it, and I don't believe if we continue on, I'm not saying it might not mitigate it some, but it's certainly not going to cut it back or eliminate it.
Quick break, long segment coming up, Captain. I want to get into where you see this going and what other mariners and ship company managers, where they see it going. If it's up 500% on record, you're saying probably more like 1,000% in the last year. Where's the bottom of this, if there is one? You talk about it threatening global trade. It's already doing that to a great extent, jacking up prices. And then how do we get the ships armed?
Ionic Zone has the lowest prices in the USA on shock treatment ozone generators starting at $299. Ionic Zone shock treatment ozone generators are used by remediation contractors and homeowners alike to sterilize homes and cars, making them free from bacteria, molds, viruses, and complete removal of secondhand smoke, pet odors, you name it. What else can three oxygen atoms, in other words, ozone, do? Many hospitals sterilize their operating rooms with ozone before and after operations. And have you ever heard of ozone therapy? Ionic Zone has a wealth of information on ozone therapy. Ozone therapy is used, among other things, to raise the body's oxygen level, which studies suggest boosts the immune system. You can learn more about ozone therapy or Ionic Zone ozone generators by going to ioniczone.com or calling 800-549-9535. That's ioniczone.com or toll-free 800-549-9535. Ionic Zone.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
In the near future, Earth is dominated by a powerful world government.
It's known as the Bilderberg Group. Could their objective be world domination?
For thousands of years, their dark order grew. Now, as they hail the birth of the New World Order, their great dream of exterminating 80% of humanity is at hand. For the first time in history, the elite's plan for world government is blown wide open. You will learn the secret that drives the entire New World Order agenda.
Bilderberg is making great progress toward a world government.
Most people have no idea. They're not after money. They have all the money they need. They're after power. That's their aphrodisiac.
Order Endgame on DVD at PrisonPlanet.com or InfoWars.com. Or watch it online right now at PrisonPlanet.tv. Endgame. Blueprint for global enslavement. You have been warned.
More than 700 chemicals have been found in our drinking water. And did you know that you have greater exposure to these chemicals while taking hot showers than when drinking the water? That's because many chemicals are inhaled when they evaporate and others are absorbed into the skin. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter works with both hot and cold water and is designed to reduce chlorine, lead, mercury, and iron, and it inhibits the growth of bacteria, mold, algae, and fungus. The KDF Dual Media Shower Filter typically lasts 10,000 gallons or 1 year, whichever comes first. Hospitals, restaurants, and water treatment facilities use this media to reduce chlorine, iron, heavy metals, and bacteria. What about you? Order your KDF Shower Filter normally, $49 for our special price of only $39.99 with free shipping. Call the Berkey Guy and order now by calling 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or simply click on the banner at GCNLive.com to order online now.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live now, 8 minutes, 16 seconds into the third hour. Our guest is with us for the rest of the hour. We're going to open the phones up. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, you can go ahead and line up if you'd like to call in. Are you a mariner? Do you know anybody who is a sailor who's seen piracy or been involved in it? Are you thinking about going into the Merchant Marine? Are you concerned about this? What about the United Nations trying to push through the law of the Sea Treaty for global government to run 76% of the world's surface? That is salt water. Another 1% is fresh water, so 77% of the world's surface covered in water. This is a watery planet, a blue jewel spinning and hurtling through the Milky Way galaxy in deep space, orbiting a standard sun. And all over this little jewel are mariners. They're the people that brought the Mayflower here. They're the folks that discovered with Leif Erikson when Europeans first discovered this continent. It was mariners from Polynesia and mariners from Asia that clearly didn't just come across the Bering Strait, but peopled Central and South America. That's been proven. They found jade only from Asia, of course, in some of the Aztec, Mayan, Toltec idols, and the languages are similar. All of this is so important, and 500% increase in what they admit piracy, really 1,000% because less than half of the ships report it because they don't want their insurance going up. This is a real crisis, not to mention all the people off the coast of California, people in the Gulf of Mexico, folks down in the Caribbean being robbed, being killed, and the media doesn't report on it. It's kept very, very quiet. Only when they murder some prominent person do you hear about it, and that's constantly going on. So very, very dangerous, very, very rough. Madison Avenue tells all the rich yuppies to go out to sea, and then they don't come back, not to mention the dangers of the sea itself. I'd like to talk about some of the storms you've been through, some of the things you've witnessed, the most concerned, the most white-knuckled you've ever been, why you got into being a mariner, such a romantic thing, but so beautiful, but also so dangerous. But before we go there, let's continue with just how bad the piracy has gotten. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. We'd love to hear your stories as well or other stories that you've heard, 800-259-9231, and ways you think we can turn this around. So finishing up with just how prolific it's gotten, and then how do we arm these ships?
How bad is it? It's so bad that the head of the Naval Task Force in the Gulf of Aden said yesterday that naval forces patrolling this area are not going to stop piracy.
That's in Yemen.
And that's in Somalia, Yemen, that whole area. There, it's not going to stop piracy. And he's right. One of the problems with, and we hear a lot about sending ships down there, different naval ships going down there. And yes, they're patrolling, but we're talking about a huge area here. You know, we're talking needle in a haystack. And the bottom line is there's no coordination between all these naval forces. Like, for example, the French have two frigates down there, and they've announced that we're going to give priority to French ships, French-owned or French-registered ships, to go through here, and everybody else has to line up and take a number, and then we'll take care of you. There's one opening in December, and there's one in January. And that's the way that it's going. There's no coordination. And the pirates know this. They work together. There's no government in Somalia, basically. So they're working with warlords ashore. And they definitely, and that's why they like cash, because cash is a lot easier to dispose of than, let's say, you know, a container.
Well, this would be easy, though, if they just did a month-long operation, put four or five AWACS up, track ships leaving, track where they were going, and then the minute they went after a ship, just go in and strafe it till it sinks. And you do that, they would quit real fast.
Well, the problem is we got the mariners on there. And me and my buddies, you know, my fellow shipmates or my fellow mariners are on board these ships. I mean, there have been so many examples in the last year and since in the last few months when pirates have taken ships in plain sight of the U.S. naval vessels. And actually, the Navy admits that even with 2 miles away, a naval vessel 2 miles away from a merchant ship, and the merchant ship gets attacked, the Navy has very little that they can do. The problem is that there are no clear rules of engagement
mm-hmm.
for the military. What happens after the pirates take the vessel? And so
that's the problem. You have to hit them. You've got to have intelligence on the ground, and they can find out in 5 minutes who the pirate ships are, and then just blast them when they near the other ship.
Well,
but then they'll say that you're killing people without due process.
Well, that's right, and that's actually one of the things that I think is a major problem is that when they, for example, they had some French commandos that came in after Le Ponant, that cruise vessel was hit by pirates. I think it was in April of this year. They went into Somalia, actually landed in Somalia, and took six of the pirates that were identified in that attack. They brought them back to France. And then they said, well, now what? Because they're Somali citizens. And it's like, no, you can't try Somali citizens in a French court, pal. That's not going to work. And so now their hands are tied. And legally, there's all kinds of wrangling. They don't know what to do. And so there's no international mechanism to try and punish the pirates once they've been taken. And, of course, there's misinformation. It was recently reported, I think it was like 2 weeks ago, that the Indian Navy had sunk one of the pirate motherships. And there was a lot of cheering in shipping circles when that was reported. And what happened a few days later, the reports came out that, no, that wasn't a pirate mothership. That was actually a Thai fishing trawler. And the 14 fishermen, all civilians who were on there, are presumed dead and missing because it wasn't a pirate mothership. It was actually a trawler that was controlled by pirates. And now it appears that the Indian Navy made a mistake and blew up a wrong vessel.
What about the British success they just had?
Well, the British have managed to, and there's been various repelling with military forces of pirates, mainly because of their proximity when the ship, a merchant ship, is attacked. The other thing is when ships are high out of the water, when they have a lot of freeboard, which is, you know, the amount of the vessel above the waterline, when they have a lot of freeboard, it makes it very difficult, and fast vessels are difficult. The problem is merchant vessels are not built in general for speed. They're built for economy. And so, like the Cirrus Star, which was taken, and that's, by the way, the largest commercial vessel ever taken by pirates in the history of our civilization. And that $100 million worth of oil that was on, that's on there right now, and that hijacked vessel was actually bound for Texas, by the way. But when the pirates take the ship, it's slow. It's only going 15 miles an hour. They throw grappling hooks up on there. They swarm aboard the ship. They have AK-47s and grenade launchers, and they take the ship.
Well, we know the answer then. We know governments want a monopoly of force, a monopoly of power, so governments everywhere aren't letting merchant ships arm themselves. We need to have an international convention. Of course, they won't do this. An international convention where nations are signatories, people know it's a safe port, to allow heavy armaments to be put on ships, and then sailors can choose if they want to have a training course and sign a liability waiver and then sign on to ships that are armed or aren't armed. I mean, there's no way I'd go out to sea on a ship that didn't let me be armed, but I know they don't let you be armed because you can't call at the ports.
That's true. My last ship was, I was working in Panama, which they've had some armed attack incidents against vessels that, going through the canal, waiting to go through the canal. And we were a slow-moving 10-knot, 12-knot vessel, and we were an easy target, low to the water. And that's the way a lot of merchant ships are, oceanographic ships. A good friend of mine that I went to school with, captain on an oceanographic ship, his ship got attacked off Somalia. And that thing has a high speed of like 12 knots, and it's only like 10 feet above the waterline. Because oceanographic ships do scientific research, they're slow. I agree 100%. We need to either one or the other. Either have armed guards on board vessels. A good friend of mine is on a ship right now supplying the troops in Iraq, and he's over in Dubai right now. They have armed guards with Uzis and AK-47s patrolling that vessel 24/7 in that area. They're hired by the company, they're paid by the company, and they're patrolling the vessel for the protection of the ship and the crew. Now, in this argument that, well, you know, merchant ships shouldn't have weapons, or even private recreational boaters shouldn't have it, falls by the wayside, in my opinion, because there are merchant vessels that are armed now. Zim Container Line, which is the Israeli container line, and many of your listeners have probably either seen a Zim Container Line ship or seen Zim containers on the highway being pulled by a truck. Every one of those crew members on board a Zim Container Line ship is armed with an Uzi, and they know how to use it. They're officially in the National Guard, the Israeli National Guard. Every one of them is a citizen. And I know I have a good friend I went to school with who is a big shot at Zim. Every one of those guys and women on board that vessel, on the board, all their vessels.
How do they call it ports? So they just don't call it ports that don't let them defend themselves?
Nope. They call it the ports because they're officially in the Israeli National Guard and therefore are not civilians. And they are allowed to carry the Uzis as a result of the fact that they have a military affiliation, even though they're not actively military. And you know what? I have never once heard of an attack against the Zim Container Line ship. Because if I were a pirate and I took the easy oceanographic ship with lots of high-tech equipment, lots of expensive electronics, going 10 to 12 knots, or the Zim Container Line ship
with an Israeli flag on it, they don't mess with that.
You bet, man. You never hear about that. When you know you're going to be facing 26 Uzis and people who know how to use them, yeah, well, we'll take a pass on that. The Military Sealift Command has civilian merchant mariners that are government employees. They're not military.
Well, I'm telling you, these bigger ships need barracks mounted in housings that are waterproof, pop open. You need something where you can, you know, really take on these pirates.
We need to have something, because what we have now is fire hoses and, you know, I mean, fire, that's one of the big things that they have. Fire hoses are like, you know.
Yeah, they're now using sound cannons. What, one cruise ship did use sound cannons to run them off, though, but that was a brave guy at the sound cannon running them off.
Yes, that's one thing. It's called an LRAD, and they have limited effectiveness, but yeah, pirates put earplugs, and then, hey, then it doesn't bother them as much.
All right, stay there. Let's continue talking about the solution is not having a global government taxing everybody, and then they still won't keep you safe from the pirates. The answer is arming all the ships. We'll be right back.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
So you finally decided you're going to stock up and store food. But why settle for bland, tasteless food? Why settle for less? There is an alternative. InternetGrocer.net. Enjoy the most delicious storable food at amazing prices. Enjoy creamy, delicious, real cheddar cheese in a can. Indulge in real canned meats and real canned butter. Storable meals from InternetGrocer.net will bring such variety and flavor you won't be able to tell you're actually eating storable food. You can purchase by the can or by the case. Choose a variety pack or an entire year's worth of food. InternetGrocer.net has non-hybrid seeds that will produce delicious food for you and your family. Ensure your food supply for years. Find out just how delicious storable food can be. Call 903-356-6443. That's 903-356-6443. Open from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Or shop online at internet-grocer.net. Again, that's internet-grocer.net.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset, so try it today. Store it today and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
Alex Jones here with a question. What does humidity mean to you? Most people think of hot and sticky summer days, but many people are beginning to realize that humidity can be a valuable source of pure drinking water. That's why I'd like you to visit acolablue.com. Acolablue is a state-of-the-art atmospheric water generator producing purified drinking water from the humidity in the air using reverse osmosis and a 5-stage carbon and UV light filtration system, which produces great-tasting water at an unbeatable price. Finally, drinking water that you control. I use one every day. Say goodbye to expensive water delivery services and storing 5-gallon bottles of water in your home. The Acola Blue 28 is shipped right to your home, ready to make close to 7 gallons a day right out of the box. They have a 30-day money-back guarantee. Call Acola Blue right now at 866-585-4044. That's 866-585-4044. Or visit Acola Blue at ecolablue.com today.
Before our guests leave us, we'll tell you about his websites again and his riveting book, From the Bridge. We'll talk more about solutions and how to organize the mariners together and their companies to have a real solution, not global government, law of the sea treaty, to tax everybody and put UN international ships on 76% of the Earth's surface, the water. That's the plan here. It's the imploding world economy that is really generating a lot of this crime. I'm going to go to calls in just a moment, but do you agree with that, to Captain Sweeney? I mean, why? I'm sure there's other reasons, too. Why is it just getting so bad? Has it been an incremental march? I know it's been getting worse the last decade, to where now it's just become so profitable that more people are getting into the piracy business? Or how does the economy falling apart fit into that?
Well, I think the global economy has something to do with it, but ships move regardless. I mean, you know, to get 95% of basically of the world's goods move over water from one place to another, but that are traded. So I think it has to do more with the success of the pirates. Success breeds success, and now it's spreading elsewhere. And actually, it's to the point now where shipping companies have said, we're going to go a different way. And so there are now companies. Maersk Line is one of the biggest shipping line in the world, has announced that they are not going to send a number of their vessels through the Gulf of Aden and the Suez Canal anymore. They're going to go all the way around the Cape of Good Hope or all the way around Cape Horn to South America, around South America.
And that will add incredible cost and danger.
Absolutely. And the pirates might just shift their operations down there. When the shipping lanes increase down there, well, they're going to have to round the horn. They'll be maybe hanging out right there. And who pays ultimately is, obviously, we all know who that is, the consumer.
I know another solution. We need to call for a letter of marque with the French, the U.S., the British, the Germans, the Russians, the Chinese, the Japanese, paying for a letter of marque to go out and hunt down the pirates. And, of course, eggs will be broken in the process, but that's better than allowing world government to be set up through this.
Well, I think what you hit the nail on the head was the arming merchant vessel. Because what saved us that night on Christmas night 2003 when we were hit on my watch in Rio Haina was those two armed guards who were able to fight back. If me with my pipe wrench, I wasn't going to do much with what I had available. And a lot of merchant ships, their plan is to have a safe room where the crew can hide down in the steering gear and hopefully not get killed by the pirates and then let them take over the ship. And they all huddle into a safe room that's got food and water and supplies. And so we need to have, in my opinion, either armed guards on board the vessel or arm the merchant mariners. I've heard all kinds of arguments against it.
Well, that's a lot less expensive than having to circumnavigate the globe.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we would feel a lot better. And, you know, military sea lifts, ZIM, they have training. You know, there are thousands of merchant mariners now who have weapons on board, and they're trained. You know, you have under lock and key, the senior officers have access. When you go on a military sea lift command, I have a good friend who's a civilian on there, a merchant mariner. On the bridge of those ships, they've got an M1 shotgun. I think they have M14s, and they've got an M9 pistol for people on the bridge.
I think the answer would really be the big semi-automatic shotguns, the high capacity.
They're nice, yes. And also,
well, that's what the Marines use. So.
Yeah, and, you know, we need to have that. And we need to have the military. You know, I have a lot of old friends who were old-timers in World War II during, a lot of the convoys. Supplying the troops in whatever theater it was in Europe or wherever. And they said, you know, we had military convoys, and the outside was the military vessels, and the inside was the merchant ships carrying the vital supplies, which is what we do, from one place to another. And I see it, at least in certain high piracy areas like the Malacca Strait or the Gulf of Aden and maybe even in the Caribbean.
Well, that's what the British East India and the Dutch East India, they would always have with a they would go in convoys and always have a few military ships.
That's right, and I think we need to do that. And right now it's unorganized. It's helter-skelter, and we're talking about a very large area. The Gulf of Mexico, what a great piracy target a drill ship is. I mean, you have a high-tech ship that is sitting there, drilling, putting pipe into the, you know, to drill for oil out on the outer continental shelf. It's just a sitting duck. And, you know, what a great target. You know, their merchant ships are a target worldwide, and the authorities are not doing it, you know. And so if they're not going to do it, I think we need to take care of it ourselves. You know, we ought to have convoys through the most dangerous areas and organized convoys, not helter-skelter where the French say, okay, well, you know, we could fit you in next January. Come, you know, just why don't you wait till then? We need to have organized convoys, and we need to have armed merchant vessels or armed guards on merchant vessels. You know, what gives the pirates the upper hand is their weaponry. We need to level the playing field.
Absolutely, and it's very inexpensive. What, on the bigger ships, put 5-6 guards, smaller ships, just a couple guards. I mean, right there, that'll give you guys the edge to repulse these attacks, and then the pirates will go off and do something else. But if we let them keep robbing, they're going to build themselves up into an international combine global force, and then it's going to be even that much harder to deal with. We're going to take your calls from BL, John, Chris, Donna, and others.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you know that it's a documented fact 80% of all Americans and 85% of people around the world suffer from internal parasites and parasitic infection? You may be one of millions of people suffering from one of dozens of debilitating chronic diseases from these parasites, and your doctor would never know it. In fact, clinically detected parasites account for only 1% of all cases. Don't continue to suffer from pain due to misdiagnosis. Now you can fight internal parasites, heavy metal poisoning, and high cholesterol naturally and safely by mixing fossilized phytoplankton powder, also known as FPP, with your favorite beverage once a day. FPP is used around the world, has numerous uses, and is now available to you from Freshwater Organics. FPP strengthens skin, hair, and bones, lowers cholesterol, and is an excellent source of natural plant-based silica with 14 trace minerals. Order some today at freshwaterorganics.com. Again, that's freshwaterorganics.com, or call 888-949-3570.
May I have everybody's attention, please? I've come with a message of information. 9/11 was an inside job.
Do you like being a puppet, sir? Do you like being a puppet for the New World Order?
How do the American people know that 9/11 was a stage, was it engineered by you, David Rockefeller, the Trilateral Commission, the CFR?
The day that we stop asking questions is the day that we have allowed the seeds of despotism to grow at our own door.
7 years after the attacks of September 11th, a global awakening has taken place.
An inside job? How dare you?
If you know that there's treason going on, you can be held accountable for treason yourself.
All hell is breaking loose on 6th Avenue.
And if the government has not told the truth, in 5 years we will be here on the 10th anniversary of 9/11.
Truth Rising. Download the film at PrisonPlanet.tv right now, or get the DVD at InfoWars.com. It's now time to take the revolution to the next level.
Hello, I'm Steve Shank. For the past several months, folks have constantly asked me to give them a date as to when they should be finished stocking up on food. We've been so beaten up by stock market, banking, housing, and unemployment crashes that we're desensitized and frozen inactive like the frog being unknowingly cooked in gradually increasingly hot water. Well, snap out of it. We now have a deadline. Joe Biden said it's going to happen. Former Secretary of State Colin Powell went on CBS Meet the Press and pointed to about January 22nd as the time a major international incident would force the new president to make unpopular decisions. Well, I take the general at his word, and my best advice is to have your food in your possession prior to the inauguration. Contact eFoodsDirect.com for your supplies prior to this deadline for disaster. Ask yourself, is it better to have too much too soon or too little too late? Call 800-409-5633 or on the web eFoodsDirect.com.
Day after day, alone on a hill, the man with the foolish grin is keeping perfectly still.
Your call's coming up the balance of the hour. Then in the fourth hour, I'm going to cover news and take phone calls and play several key audio clips. They're proposing just having warrantless arrest of the American people and indefinite or life secret detention. So they're now openly rolling that out. That's coming up. More on the governor being arrested up in Illinois and what's happening with the economy. But BL, John, Chris, Donna, and others, your call's coming up here. First off, I want to tell you about some of our sponsors. One of them is My Solar Backup. MySolarBackup.com. A lot of things can cut off your electrical power. Hurricanes, snow, ice, storms. Listeners should move towards getting off the grid, and here's a good way to do just that. A solar power generator is now available from our longtime sponsor, Solutions from Science. It's designed to provide 1,800 watts of power on demand in the event of any disaster or outage. You can get an emergency power backup kit, which consists of the Power Source 1800 power plant and high-efficiency solar panel designed to provide endless electricity. That's right, folks. Generates electricity for free. Remember, too, the gas generators need gas. But in a blackout, gas pumps can't pump gas because they run on electricity as well. Plus, there's the problems of storing fuel. The solar generator is like having a silent power plant hidden in your home. It's the perfect emergency backup for troubles. The government doesn't own the sun yet, folks, so make your move today. Their website is mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com. Or you can always call them toll-free at 877-327-0365. This is a great system, folks. 877-327-0365. And if their lines are busy, keep trying. They'd love to talk to you. Again, 877-327-0365. And then one of our other great sponsors is Akola Blue. AkolaBlue.com. Akola Blue is a just wonderful system. I have it in my office. I now also have it in my home. The Akola Blue is an atmospheric water generator for the home. It grabs 7.5 gallons out of the air, and the average humidity, some places more, some places less, but guaranteed about 3 gallons a day. Low operating cost. It's just an amazing system. And then it goes through 5 filters internally, passes through the activated carbon filter, the silver impregnated carbon filter, then the reverse osmosis system, then a Tatian odor removal filter, and then it's stored in an illuminated tank by antibacterial, antifungal UV light. E-C-O-L-O, that's acolablue.com, E-C-O-L-O-B-L-U-E.com, or 866-585-4044, 866-585-4044. This is the future of water purification, because it's hard to get fluoride out of municipal tap. Some of the filters can do it or reduce it, but this has nothing in it, ladies and gentlemen. This is the future. That's why Willie Nelson's out pushing similar systems. Whatever you do, just get involved in it today. All right, going back to Captain Kelly Sweeney. Captain, let's take some calls.
Hey, Alex?
BL in Texas, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Alex. I have just a couple of things for Captain Sweeney. Captain, 55 or 60 years ago, it was common practice for a merchant or a private vessel to have an arms locker on board. And just like an international shipping container, when you entered a port where arms were restricted, the harbor master would put a seal on the arms locker. Now, when did that stop being common practice?
I have never been on a ship that had an arms locker, and I've been going to sea about 28 years. And I don't know when it stopped, BL. The only ships that I know that have it now on the American flag are the military seal of command vessels.
I had a great uncle who ran away when he was 13 years old. He moved back to the farm, you know, once he was grown. But he ran away, went to Houston, then went to Galveston, got on a ship, went around the world, was on ships, you know, came back. And I remember my dad talking about how they had arms lockers back then, but obviously they got rid of them by the 60s or 70s.
Yes, and I'd like to see those days come back. I would 100% like to see those days come back.
Well, Captain, are you aware of the Greek freighter Elavita?
Elavita? No, tell me about that, BL.
Well, they got tired of the whole pirate problem, so they electrify their decks with 220 volts AC when they enter pirate waters.
Yes, I do. I do know about a similar system. It's called the Ship Secure System. It's marketed by an outfit in the Netherlands. And what they do is very similar to that. They have, and I wrote about that in my previous article in Professional Mariner magazine. People can check it out at professionalmariner.com. But they have a Ship Secure, and it's not really a fence. What it is, at the gunwale on the outside, it extends outward like beam, metal beam, all the way around the ship. And then they lay these wires on top of it, and it extends further out. And so when the pirates grab it, it automatically sounds an alarm on the bridge. It lights up the area of the vessel that has been boarded and has been, where the connection is. And then I believe I'm tempted to say 9 million volts.
Wow.
I could be wrong on that.
So it's a shipboard generator.
It's generated from the electricity on the ship, and it basically doesn't allow them to to grab on and to board because they use grappling hooks or whatever to get over that. And one of the things that I have, and it's been marketed heavy, and the international shipping community is pushing merchant vessels to have this because it's a quote unquote non-lethal method of repelling pirates or armed attack. The problem that I'm concerned about is, what if they short that out? I mean, and that's the thing that I'm not sure exactly. You know, if they could throw something, a metal something up there and ground it to the ship itself, and that I don't have the answer to that yet. But, yes, BL, that's very astute of you. And, yes, they do have that system that they're marketing.
Well, Captain, I think the day of the Q ship has come again, an apparently unarmed vessel that is heavily armed.
I think you might be right on that, my friend.
Now, firing on a vessel that hasn't demonstrated hostile intents just should never happen, whether you're the Indian Navy or whoever you are. But once a vessel has fired on your vessel, you should be able to respond with devastating firepower.
I'm with you, brother. I'm right there with you. I agree. Because it's the life of me and my shipmates out there.
I'll tell you what, I've been going to sea my whole life, I don't go on the water without a firearm.
All right. Well, hey, get a hold of me through my website, maritimeheadhunters.com. There's a contact us page there, and shoot me some information. I'd like to talk to you personally.
All right, BL, good to hear from you. John in Canada just hung up, so we'll go to Chris in Texas. Chris, you're on the air.
Good morning, Alex. Good show this morning. I'm glad you're hearing this topic. But I've got to say that I know people have been pirated in Rockwell.
Hold on, back off your phone. You're totally distorted.
Totally sorry. How about
now? Yeah, you sound fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know people that are totally pirated in Rockport, Texas. I know of incidences in Cozumel, but I will never go to sea, as BL just said, without a weapon. And what I do, when I pick up a target on radar and I'm on a recreational vessel, I will certainly start assembling my weapon and trying to reach them on the radio. And if they get closer, I'm going to start firing over their bow, because if they get close to you in international waters, they're going to kill you and they're going to scuttle you. And most people don't truly understand how devastating this issue is around the globe. Because I've sailed in the Med, I've sailed in the Caribbean, I've sailed in the South Pacific, and it is truly a horrible situation that has not truly been addressed until today.
Well, thank you, Chris, and I appreciate your insight. Yes, you're a smart guy being armed when you go out to sea.
What do you do about ports? Do you have a hidden compartment for your firearms?
Alex, I break it down into several pieces, and you stow it in different areas on the vessel. And you just have to take that risk when you're going into a foreign port, especially on a recreational, and I'm speaking from a recreational standpoint.
Yeah, that's the point. When tyrannical government keeps the people from protecting themselves, it really does come down to immoral laws just have to be broken.
It's either you or them, and when you're out at sea in international water, your boat is your island. You are the king, you're the president, you're there to protect the boat. You protect the boat, you protect your passengers, you protect your crew. And you only have one shot at it, literally one shot at it. And if you pick them up on radar and they're starting to say 16, 20 miles out, you get them on radar and they're coming towards you, start to hail them on the radio and they don't answer you and they keep coming towards you. You start assembling your weapons and you get prepared for a situation. You have to be prepared.
I agree. And it's unfortunate that recreational boaters are put in a position where if they have a weapon to defend themselves, that they face prosecution or being locked up in another country.
Well,
the only thing you have on board, quite frankly, if you don't have a weapon, is a pyrotechnic flare gun. I mean, think about that. That's the only thing legally you can carry on board your boat as a recreational.
Those are pretty deadly, though. You got a whole bunch of them.
But you got to be close, and they're not very accurate.
All right, let me go further here. You know, they tend to bounce off. I have heard from the people that go out on the 100-mile, 200-mile fishing trips that people are being robbed, are being killed. It's all kept quiet in the media. You're saying you've heard about piracy in Rockport?
That's correct. Rockport, Texas, one of my clients delivering his boat from Florida, just inside state waters was pirated. He let a boat get close to him. They came on board with guns. They robbed him. They didn't kill him, and they didn't scuttle him, but they took everything on board their boat. And that's a huge risk that you take, even in our state waters. And the problem is, around the United States, our Coast Guard is not worried about that. They're more worried about interdiction, drug interdiction, and weapons interdiction.
No, I know.
They're not thinking about recreational boaters.
Were these guys American that robbed him?
They were. And they're pirates in every culture and every society. It's something that has been happening forever and ever and ever. You think about New Orleans. New Orleans is well known for centuries as a pirating mecca. I mean, it's truly well known about that.
Well, New York was the greatest pirate mecca ever.
Wonderful. And Captain Sweeney made a great point. Think about the Gulf of Mexico. What's going on just off our shores out in the Gulf of Mexico? It is truly, you've got thousands of square miles where recreational boaters are buying these gigantic million-dollar yachts, wanting to move them around between Florida and different ports.
And nobody tells them. They don't even put somebody on watch.
No,
they just pull into some cove or tie up to something and get killed.
The problem is, Alex, as I said, if you protect your boat, you protect your crew, and you protect your passengers.
So what do you do? Somebody never sleeps. You've always got to stay up.
So, well, you've always got somebody on watch, but, as an example, I always take night watch because night watch, to me, is the most deadliest time to be out there.
Not just to mention ships running over you. Go ahead, Captain.
Well, I was going to say with Chris, Chris makes some very valid points. It's interesting, though, that at least in the Gulf of Aden, the vast majority of the pirate attacks were during the daytime. And I think that's because the pirate vessels, even though they're very fast, they don't have
navigation.
Radar. They don't have navigation. Obviously, they don't have navigation lights or anything like that yet anyway. Well, at least they have some sophisticated equipment to track the vessels. But that might change, I think, because as they get more and more sophisticated equipment, they're going to be able to tell whether the ship they're coming alongside mm-hmm. of is a merchant vessel or a naval vessel.
Yeah, exactly, because they're doing that for their own safety, so they don't pick on the wrong target. Again, the fear of self-defense.
That's right.
What else have you heard about in the Gulf of Mexico, Captain and Chris? Go ahead.
Cozumel, a boat was pirated 2 years ago because they had a stowaway. A gentleman got on board the boat. He had an automatic weapon, and once the boat got underway, he started shooting people, and then his pirate buddies came alongside and came up on board. I think the cruise ship industry right now is in a critical time. We just saw, as Captain Sweeney pointed out, two ships that have barely escaped. Once these pirates decide or figure out a way to get weapons on board the boat first, and then start killing people and killing crew and taking over the flybridge and the pilot house, then we're going to see the cruise ship industry suffer. Then you're going to have thousands of people held hostage and robbed at sea, and that is coming. That is the next phase of
the pirate operation. Well, it's already been happening. But is that a danger in the Caribbean, Captain?
The cruise ship, as far as the cruise ships?
Yeah, and most of that's in Africa, right?
Well, yeah, right now it's in Africa. But, you know, cruise ships are very... they're high out of the water in general. They have a lot of freeboard, and they're not an easy target. But I tell you one thing, when there's been attacks, as Chris and I mentioned earlier, as Chris pointed out, there have been attacks on cruise ships in the Gulf of Aden in the last week and a half. And if the pirates actually get control of a cruise ship, it's going to be the golden jewel. Because what's going to happen
exactly
then,
right.
You're going to have 100... crew members, or up to 300 or 400 crew members.
It's going to be a giant international incident meltdown. Thousands of hostages.
You bet. And actually, one cruise line.
And again, these are the real terrorists, so the government's doing nothing about it.
Well, the problem
is, meanwhile, they've got us all afraid of boogeyman Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, that's right. And actually, a RAND study came out earlier this year that pointed exactly to that, Alex. The RAND study pointed out that the U.S. government under Bush has been... and to a large extent, at fault for some of the increase in piracy because they focus so much on the doomsday scenario of terrorism. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't have that, but the everyday reality of piracy has been largely ignored. And even the RAND study came right out and said that, you know, maritime terrorism is one thing, and yes, that's, a lot of times that's politically, and I'm not saying that...
But it is terrorism, even if it's for money, when you kidnap people and kill them. It's the same thing, you know.
Yes, it's just...
What better place than when you think about it, if you're going to take over a ship at sea, all you have to do is kill the crew, kill the passengers, and scuttle the vessel. And I'm talking on a recreational aspect, you know, 100 to 150 foot yachts or something along those lines. Those are million dollar pieces of equipment. They have a lot of things on board and a lot of wealthy people on board, and you've got a graveyard in the ocean, quite frankly.
I think if the pirates managed to hijack a cruise ship, and actually what's happening now, a German cruise line, I think it was the MV Columbus, I think that's the name of it, last Sunday. What they did then, instead of transiting through the Gulf of Aden and the Red Sea with the passengers on board, when they anchored off the Suez, they took everybody off and they flew them by plane, all the entire group of passengers, hundreds of passengers, over to Dubai, and then the crew brought the ship through, and then they met they're going to meet the vessel, the passengers are going to meet the vessel over in Dubai and continue the world cruise that they're on. That's what's happening. The companies are starting to avoid the area, and what happens, then it's a snowball effect. Egypt derives the vast majority of its money from the Suez Canal. Okay, billions of dollars a year. Well, now fewer ships are going to start going through this Suez Canal. So Egypt gets less money. It further destabilizes the area. This is a snowball effect of piracy. You know, you're going to start paying more, and I'm sure you already have been paying more for things as we go, anything that's coming from overseas.
It's amazing. We're going to break in just a moment. Anything else, Chris?
No, thank you, Alex. Great show. Captain Sweeney, I'm going to get your book, and I appreciate you just being out there doing this, Alex. You're doing a great job, my friend.
Thanks, Chris. Hey, go to the website, Maritime Editors. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give everybody who is listening and says they heard me on Alex's show today, I'm going to cut them 10% with no shipping, and I'm going to sign the book for them and send it out. So go to the website, MaritimeHeadHunters.com.
MaritimeHeadHunters.com. Let's jam in Donna in New Hampshire, then we'll hold her over. Go ahead, Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My husband is a captain in the Gulf of Mexico, and this is one of my major concerns. I'm concerned because the International Monetary Organization has recommended that merchant mariners be unarmed. And that poses a great big problem for me as a wife who sits in New Hampshire while her husband's down in the Gulf of Mexico.
I understand completely. My poor wife has felt the same thing. I had just called her Christmas Day from Rio Haina before we got attacked. And there was a guy on the dock who for 25 cents a minute would let you use his cell phone. And I know exactly what you're saying. It's a terrible feeling.
Well, the other thing that my
Donna, stay there. Stay there. Hold for the break, okay? I want to talk to you on this side, so don't hang up. We'll come back to Donna after the break with Captain Sweeney. Maybe we'll twist his arm into 5 minutes of the next hour so we can take a few more calls after that, and I'm going to get into all this other news and information. But this affects you even if you never go to sea. And it's also a public service announcement because the yuppies don't know how dangerous it is.
Phase one of the insider's plan for a one-world government has been initiated with the recent bailout. International bankers and power brokers have engineered the current crisis to create a new currency and a new world bank to act as savior. But we've only seen the beginning. Their next engineered crisis will be on a scale never before seen in modern times. Shortages and empty shelves will spread fear and panic across the land. The insiders have discovered that they must control two things to seize total power. Phase one is a one-world currency, which we are currently being prepared to accept. Phase two of their insidious plan is complete control of our food supplies. Go to www.foodshortageusa.com for the details. That's www.foodshortageusa.com to learn how to prepare for the unthinkable. Don't wait for empty shelves. Learn how to make your own survival foods for pennies on the dollar. Go to foodshortageusa.com or call 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365.
A day unlike any other in the long course of American history, a terrorist act of war against this country.
The enemy struck America on September 11th. But who is the enemy?
Bin Laden.
This is his M.O.
We have to look to the Middle East. We have to look to Osama bin Laden.
Fabled Enemies is the first 9/11 film to take a close look at the terrorist ties to intelligence networks inside the United States.
Some U.S. investigators believe that there are Israelis again very much engaged in spying in and on the U.S.
I'm aware that some Israeli citizens have been detained.
Bin Laden's connections to the CIA, the hijackers' ties to the FBI, the Saudi Arabian connection, the Israeli intelligence network, warnings and war games, the shadow government, and much, much more. Fabled Enemies. Get the DVD at Infowars.com or see it in super high quality, along with hundreds of other titles at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Either you are with us or you are with the terrorists.
The United States is bankrupt and the bankers want you bankrupt also. How would you like to be debt-free in 90 days guaranteed? DebtCrisisSolutions.com has helped tens of thousands out of debt since 1993 and will free you from the debt trap. DebtCrisisSolutions.com legally guarantees to put an end to wage garnishment, bank levies, and liens, and you won't pay one dime to creditors. With Debt Crisis Solutions program, you'll also restore your credit history and be protected from legal action without making one more payment to creditors. DebtCrisisSolutions.com specializes in credit report restoration, preventing wage garnishment and bank levies, liens, and judgments. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Become debt-free in 90 days, guaranteed. Call Debt Crisis Solutions now for a free consultation at 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
We're going to finish up with Donna. We got Dan, former Coast Guard, and Brandon. That'll be it for calls. Captain, we can keep you 5 minutes in the next hour, can't we?
Alex, you can keep me as long as you want, brother. I can stay for a half hour after, whatever. I love you having informed listeners, and you are a great host. You are sharp, man. You obviously have been doing your research, so I can stay as long as you need, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you being with us. I try to study all subjects that I can. Knowledge is addictive, as you know.
It is.
That is the true value in the world, the true riches. But I want to learn a lot more. That's why we have you on with us. Donna, yes, the International Monetary Fund, others, the UN, they don't want anybody armed, so things will break down, so they can be the global force. They're openly saying that. And unlimited numbers of UN ships taxing the seas, taxing world commerce, that's what it is with the Law of the Sea Treaty, that is not going to protect the ships, only arming the ships. Go ahead.
Well, then the other thing is my husband had to apply, I'm sure, as all maritime seamen go. They have to apply for the Twix card. I think that was the last straw for my husband. My husband said this was one step before every mariner becomes chipped. And this was concerning on top of the fact that Lockheed Martin was the one who prepared all these Twix cards. And just one more thing I would say to everybody out there, whoever wants to take a cruise ship, that most ships are not foreign flagged. And that concerns me because Americans are going to become targets. And unless you have a U.S. flagged vessel, you know, you're not going to be protected. We saw that, I think, back in the 90s when the Ecstasy caught on fire and all the crew members of that boat got off and left every one of the passengers.
Yeah, that was that Greek ship, right?
No, the Ecstasy was the one off Florida.
Well, there was another one where the captain got himself off.
Yeah, that was the Achille Lauro. That's when he went. He came with the Greek captain, went ashore. And said, "Hey, I'll call you from ashore and let you know how things are." but Donna's right. What she was talking about with the TWIC card, which is a transportation worker identification credential, it's not only for U.S. mariners, longshore workers, truckers who go on container terminals, people who work in offices at container terminals or cargo terminals. Port workers who go there to repair things or fix, you know, whatever. Anybody who goes on a terminal, and they're all U.S. citizens. And I wrote an article about the TWIC card and Professional Mariner. People can see it in the archives, professionalmariner.com, from a mariner's point of view. You know, most of us have no problem going in there and doing what we got to do because, you know, we got to stay employed.
But this is a worker ID for the feds to track everybody.
Yes, that's right. And the problem is, though, even though there were, I don't know how many, I think it was 17 ships that had the identifiable links to Al-Qaeda after 9/11, merchant ships, foreign merchant mariners don't have to go through the same screening process.
No, it's only for us. It's to control.
It's only for you. And it's like, so, you know, how can, and I even end this in the article in Professional Mariner when I asked this question, how can U.S. ports be safe when only U.S. workers...
No, it's federal control of our activities. Homeland Security wants every American to have a similar card to have any job. I saw the head of it when Ridge was the head of it say that on C-SPAN. Let's start the call now, finish it up in the next segment. Thank you, Donna. Let's talk to Dan in Texas, former Coast Guard.
Hoi, Dan.
Hello. Alex?
Yes.
Hey, yeah, this is Dan. I'm retired Coast Guard. I served for 21 years active duty, and I just want to let you know that it's a real privilege and honor to speak to you, and thank you for all your insights and help. And I just want to touch on a couple of things. A lot of people have brought up the point about tactics and that they're on target and tracking. It's the only way to protect the crew, because without the crew, it's just a hull. And with a hull, you know, it's useless. And they can be in a watery grave, and that's what all mariners are... subject to its power. So, you know, I thank you for putting all these people together to bring these points up. Because we have to have surface assets that are coordinated to help each other, and that's real important.
Well, stay there. Tell us more about that when we get back in 70 seconds, okay? And then we're going to go live at prisonplanet.tv with Captain Sweeney right now when we come back in the fourth hour.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.